Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bumper Sticker Wisdom. I'm Jason.
I'm John.
Yeah, we're good.
Oh, I'm like, what are you doing?
Sorry. It, for some reason, it came up like podcast transfer mode. It shouldn't have been doing that, but it's good.
Okay. Sorry. Bloopers.
Right. Brother John's going to say a prayer and we'll get started.
Yes, sir. Heavenly Father, thank you for making us for such a time as this, Father. We truly believe that we are in a moment where we are exactly supposed to be. You've designed us to be here, and we just ask that you put on our hearts whatever it is that you need your people to hear, Father, and that ears all over the world be open to them. We love you, and we thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
It's weird.
So this is episode
50.
50.
Ooh, we're getting close, man.
Yeah.
And I feel bad because last time you were kind of like, hey, man, let's just stop talking about that for a second. And I'm like, it's hard. I'm getting excited.
No,
we're getting close.
We're good. Man, that's crazy.
Yeah. Two more.
Two more.
Yes, sir. Excited.
52 and 52 weeks.
It'll be a whole new year after that. Season two upcoming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we were, I want you to play something we were talking about before we started.
Okay.
The enemy is attacking your confidence.
Okay.
That says a lot for, kind of the conversations and stuff that we've had.
Yeah.
Here we go.
No, you cannot test your calling. Bible says that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He doesn't change his mind when you lose your way. So since the devil can't take your calling, he attacks your confidence. Because if he can get you to give him your confidence, he can keep you from functioning in your calling.
Oof. The idea that it stealing your confidence doesn't steal your calling, but it keeps you from functioning in your calling.
Well, it goes anything that you do in life.
Yeah.
Once you lose your confidence, typically you kind of start losing your way in whatever you're trying to accomplish. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Have you ever heard of the yips? Heard of the yips? Okay. This happens occasionally in baseball and probably in other sports. It's not a proven fact, but it's happened, right? Like, I don't know if you know who Rick Ankiel is.
No.
Okay, so he was a pitcher for the St. Louis Cardinals, and he was a highly touted prospect, and he was doing really well. And then all of a sudden, one day, balls just start flying. Like, he cannot throw a ball into the strike zone. It's just like wild pitch after wild pitch. And they call it the yips. Like, no amount of coaching would get him out of it. He still could not. But then they transferred him into becoming an outfielder, and he could laser target somebody from the outfield to home plate on a dime.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It happened to a catcher in the 80s named Mickey Hatcher. He had a cannon arm, and like, he was really good. All of a sudden, one day he got hit. Like, he caught the ball at home plate, he got hit. And he could no longer make the throw to the pitcher. He would just throw it away. Like, he would try to throw it, and he would stutter, 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 and then phew, there goes the ball out into the outfield.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They call it the yips. And that's just, to me, a sports psychologist talked about, like, it's just that there's just something that happens within their mind that just busts down their confidence.
Yeah.
And it's literally the same idea here.
Yeah, except for this is the enemy stealing your confidence.
Yeah, and stealing you from something that you were meant to do for God's kingdom, even. Yeah.
Well, we talk about this all the time, you know, our walk.
Yeah.
Once you start stumbling off of it, it's like a snowball.
Yeah, it's hard to get back.
It's hard to stop it. And then B, it's hard to get yourself back on track.
Yeah, snowball rolling downhill is hard to stop.
Yeah.
It has to hit something usually or melt,
yeah,
I guess.
I mean, just think of it this way. If you stumble going downhill, you're either going to get all the way to the bottom or you're going to fight tooth and nail to get stopped and then.
Yeah. And most likely you're going head over heels.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
every bone in your body is getting broken on the way down.
For sure.
But it's just interesting to me that the idea that, you know, the calling still stands.
Yeah.
Right? It's literally the fact that you don't believe in yourself and believe in your calling.
Yeah.
That keeps you from operating in your calling. We talk about it in this specific thing. Like, there's times you and I both have come into this, like, what are we doing? What am I doing?
Yeah.
I don't belong here.
Are we wasting our time?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had that discussion. And we talk about it a bunch. We talk about it more than we probably need to. You know what I mean?
It probably doesn't give people the impression that we got to go on and
do this. But no, that's not the case. The case is just like, you know, we go, I mean, days, months, weeks, I mean, without any interaction or anything. So it's like, are we really even reaching anybody?
Yeah.
I mean, do we have anything that's anybody sees viable to anything that's going to help them through life? I mean, it's hard not to start getting those doubts. And
yep.
That's exactly what the enemy's doing. He's taking our confidence.
Yeah.
Which in turn is making us question, what are we doing, you know?
Yeah. Yep. It definitely does. Yeah, it makes you wonder, you know.
Yeah, and it's real easy to give up.
Yeah. What's the point of continuing?
Yeah, like, man, I don't know. This ain't really working out. I think I'm going to stay home tonight, you know?
Yeah, it could happen.
That's pretty the easy. Enemy. He's not taking your calling. I'm not saying, like, this is our one true calling, but sure. I'm saying, like, I feel like we're doing something good, that things that we're doing are good. We're doing something for mm-hmm. – for you know, to kind of get people engaged with Christ. I mean, that's doing something good.
If nothing else, if we're not teaching them what to do, we're teaching them what not to do.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, and hey, look, there's a scripture. I don't know if you remember us talking about this a while back. Paul writes about, like, how even if the person delivering the message, even though they might have bad intentions, the message of Christ is still being preached. So let it happen. Like, still let it. Now, obviously, we don't have bad intentions. We have good intentions. Like, our heart is to help others,
yeah.
Right? Help others not only join on the path, but grow in the path. And also, we want to grow on the path, right? That's part of this whole thing. And we're just being very public about our path and how hard it is and how hard we're trying and how hard we fail sometimes even. Yeah.
It's a public profession of faith. I mean, it's basically what we're doing. I mean,
you are opening ourselves up to criticism every single time we do it.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead.
I've been ridiculed my whole life, man.
I can't. I mean, there's nothing that can be said that is going to make me feel any worse than the things I say to myself.
Not even close. Not even close.
Not to downplay that or anything, but let's shift gears from talking negative. Try to get back in the
okay. Well, the positive side of it is, like, we have remained accountable and we have continued to persistently pursue and persistently do, even with the struggle and the doubts and confidence.
Yeah,
we're still here. We're still showing up. We're still doing it. We're ever closer to our goal. Like I said, we kind of been hammering on that a lot lately, and people might get tired of hearing it, but I don't care. Look, when you set a goal in life and you actually achieve that goal, you should celebrate that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's worth it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying celebrate it forever. Yeah. Once you reach that goal, celebrate and then create a new goal and go achieve that. But don't just deny that you've achieved and accomplished a goal.
Something that you actually set forth for yourself. And
you made it.
Yeah.
You know, we ain't made it yet, but two more.
Yeah, we got two more. The cool thing about it is that was kind of the groundwork when we started this whole thing.
Yeah.
Was, can we do God's will willingly?
Right.
52 episodes in 52 weeks.
Yep.
Because it's pretty easy to get discouraged or, oh man, life's happening to me right now. I don't have time or whatever. I mean,
We've got, I don't want to talk too much about it until we get to 52, but do you realize how many things have changed since we started? How much has gone on? How much we're doing now compared to where we started,
yeah,
and all that. And we're talking about more. And really where we get discouraged is we want more engagement, right? Like, we yeah. want the people who are listening, even if it's only 10, to engage with us more, not just listen, engage,
yeah,
dialogue, talk.
Give us some content.
Yeah.
Something to bring up, prayer request. I mean, anything.
Bro, if you got something for us to pray for, by all means, please, yeah. let's do it.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't want to put anybody's, we're not going to put anybody's business out there. Like, yeah, you know,
Jim Smith
of
over at
Claude, 123
Applewood Lane, you know,
never going to do that. You know, it's nobody's business, but we're to do life together.
Yeah.
Right. And it kind of comes into that conversation about relationships. And lately we've talked about being in relationships where are we the people that are elevating people?
Oh, yeah.
And are we having people in our lives that are elevating us, making yeah. Basically just making us better?
Yeah.
I can say without a doubt, I have people in my life that are making me better.
Yeah. Oh, I do too. But am I making anyone else's life better?
Well, you were making my life better. So,
well, okay.
You're one of the ones I was counting in that conversation. My wife, you, and my dad.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, there are other people that are adding to my life and elevating, but the three main cogs in that wheel, that's the three
yeah.
for me. You know what I mean? Like, you're my brother. We talk a lot. We yeah. do this. You know what I mean? Like, and whenever I'm dealing with something, you're the person I'm going to come to. If it's something yeah. I can't talk to my wife or my dad about, I'm going to come to you.
Yeah. 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 100%. I mean, it goes the other way too, though.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I call you for things late at night that are happening or issues that I'm having.
Yeah.
You know,
my thoughts are in the wrong place.
Yeah.
My actions are in the wrong place. I'm mad at myself.
Just had that happen.
I mean, you and me both, you know what I mean? We both have them and we yeah. all do. We all do. And I think yeah. that's, if there's anybody listening right now, I think that's the appeal to what we're doing.
Yeah.
It's the honesty. It's the transparency. Right.
I think it's the proving the human factor is still there, no matter who you are. I mean, sure. we all have issues that we deal with because, I mean, we are human.
Yeah.
And things are going to happen. Like, you're going to lose your temper. You're going to have bad thoughts. You're going to say bad things. You're going to act bad ways. But don't let that define who you are in this moment. Like, we have a greater calling. I mean, look, we've all done something that we're not proud of.
I've done plenty of grotesque things in my life.
And it's, believe it or not, we're forgiven. You know what I mean? Like, it's
right.
We are forgiven. Just confess your sins and
yep.
I mean,
it also says confess to each other.
Yeah.
Right. And that's why it's important to have a circle of people
that you can talk to.
That you can talk to. Men specifically, we haven't leaned on that conversation a lot lately, but like, men like us genuinely aren't real consistent. Most of us aren't real good at talking to others anyway.
Yeah.
Let alone.
Oh, I can talk to people just fine, but I can't talk about things about me.
Talking and having an intimate conversation. And look, intimacy has zero to do with sexual stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Intimacy is like deep, dark stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Like deep stuff. Like hopes, dreams, goals, failures,
yeah,
sadness, pain,
yeah,
emotions, yeah, right? Those are things that you and I weren't trained to deal with our emotions.
No.
We were trained to.
I don't know how to handle emotions. I mean, sometimes emotions come, sadness comes, and I don't know how to deal with that, so I act out in anger. Or anger comes, and I don't know how to deal with that, so I act out in sadness, or I act out in a total obscure way of who I really am. You know, I may freak out and yeah. it's over nothing, but I've been carrying something for long enough that not necessarily what I've been carrying is what's going to set me off. It's going to be something small, something stupid.
Yeah. It's that one more pebble.
Yeah. It's that one more feather getting dropped on your shoulder that just makes you crack. And
I've had enough. That's it.
Yeah.
Done. I'm about to break somebody. I'm about to break you, whoever you are, what are you
whatever
doing?
Happens, it's going to be bad for everybody involved.
Yep. And I wish we would, I don't wish, I just want us to be better at it. I want us to work at being better at it. But you got to actually commit to it, right? And I think the other part of that is understanding that you're not going to get it right all the time. Even though you're committed to being better at it, you're still going to get it wrong 9 times and then get it right once. You know what I mean? Or get it wrong 50 times and get it right once. Well, you got it right one time. That's better than what you were doing, right? And we're so hard on ourselves. I know for a fact you and I are the same kind of people. And I know that a lot of the men that I interact with, we're all the same. Like, we all do the same thing.
Yeah.
When we make a mistake, we are so good at holding ourselves accountable. Like, I'm talking about men of faith, men who are actually trying to be decent men, decent husbands, decent fathers, all that kind of stuff. When we make a mistake, man, ain't nobody can, there's nobody that can ridicule me harder than I'm ridiculing myself.
Yeah, 6 inches from the mirror. You know what I mean? I mean, I've looked at myself and been like, dude, what are you doing? Like,
you're a piece.
Yeah. You are a pile of freaking crap. No, they can stack crap that high, but they can.
And it's white.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, you get it. Like, and I don't want to stay on that because that's not who we are.
Yeah.
Right? It's where we get at times. Like, our emotions get, that's because we don't know how to process them. You know what I mean? Or how to just take it somewhere and, like, just talking about it.
Or just, yeah, just to let it go.
It's not necessarily processing it, and it's not necessarily fixing anything, but it's getting it out. Yeah, it's like, man, I feel a lot better.
Yeah, you ever noticed how, like, you know, like, when you have something that, like, okay, let's just say this. Let's say, like as a kid, you lied to your parents or something, and you feel terrible, 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 and then they find out. And you're like, you've been freaking out because you lied to them this whole time or whatever. And you finally find out, or they finally find out. And then it's like, once you're confronted and you have to talk about it and you have to tell them why you did it and everything, like, how much lighter you feel.
It's over now.
Same thing. It's like, oh, man, I ain't got to worry about that.
The punishment. So I'm going to get the punishment. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, but it's at that point, it's over. It's like, shh, I'm done now. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
The weight's been lifted. Yeah, it's the same thing.
Absolutely.
Just to talk about it with somebody, even, I mean, you don't got to be looking for someone to agree with you or anything. Sometimes just get, like, blurting it out, and that's going to help you feel better, you know?
Yeah, most of the time, agreeing with you has nothing to do with it, right? Yeah. Agreeing with your behavior has nothing to do with it. I can understand your behavior and not agree with it. Like, okay, yeah, I totally understand why you may act that way or why you might do that. I get it. I understand it. I don't agree with it. I also am not going to say that I'm not prone to doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Right? Absolutely. 100%. I'm prone to fall short in that area too, right? Doesn't make it right, right? And I'm not ever good friends and brothers, people who are like iron sharpening iron, are going to be patient, kind, gracious, understand the behavior, recognize that in themselves that they could do the same thing, but also be like, okay, but you know that's not who we are.
Yeah,
that's not what we're supposed to do. And that's where this relationship has to revert back to Christ, right? Like, we have to learn how to be constructive. We have to learn how to love whenever it's really hard to love.
Yeah.
We have to learn how to be patient when it's really hard to be patient. You know?
Yeah.
That's how you grow.
Well, yeah, that's how you grow, but that's also where you start the true maturing process where you understand, you know, kind of, I don't know how to
it's say actual this. Transformation.
Yeah, it's
yeah, it's like, life transformation.
Yeah, and the maturity is really starting to bring something out in you that's that's positive.
Fumble! Sorry. I was reaching across the table. Couldn't quite get it.
Yeah, it's all good.
I don't have ET fingers. You know what I mean? Couldn't quite get there.
Yeah, or Go-Go Gadget arms.
I wonder how many people that are actually listening to what we do that know Inspector Gadget. I mean,
oh, bro. So
I love Inspector Gadget. I miss it so bad.
Funny story. I've probably told you this story, and I've probably said it on here, but I didn't realize how bad I failed as a parent until I called my kid Dennis the Menace, and all three of my kids looked at me, and they're like, who's Dennis the Menace? Or they said, what is Dennis the Menace? And I was like, what?
What did I do?
Like, how did I fall bad short? Did I fail on that? Like, you don't know. I was like, you don't know. And I'm all trying to show them, like, and they're looking at me like,
No clue.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, I failed miserably. And I'm all talking Menace. About the part of the movie when the paint yeah. ends up on the grill, and then he puts chiclets in his dentures, and
he's taking that very public picture for the gardening thing because he's got the flower that blooms only at midnight on the yeah, one day yeah. of the year.
He's got those chiclets right there. Yeah, they're like, they've never seen. I'm like, yeah, how did I
Walter
do that?
Matthau, by the way, that's the actor.
How did I do that? How did I fall so short in teaching my kids that kind of stuff? You know?
The cartoons when I was a kid is Dennis the Menace, Heathcliff, Garfield.
Calvin and Hobbes,
yeah. Inspector Gadget.
Remember Ren and Stimpy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, dude, that's like, oh, man, it's like.
That was hardcore, old school, freaking Nickelodeon.
Before things like Family Guy existed,
yeah.
This was the most
yeah,
forward-thinking and adult, right-on-the-line type of comedy for kids, man.
That Ren was a Nickelodeon thing.
It was a Nickelodeon thing, yeah, yes, sir.
They would never fly.
Ren and Stimpy. Don't whiz on the electric fence. Yes. Yes.
Oh my God.
Nostalgia is rolling through the room right now.
That is freaking crazy.
It's wild. That's wild to think
about.
And
then what's the not Looney Tunes, but the other one? Is it Tiny Tunes?
Tiny Tunes.
What
Animaniacs.
Are we gonna do today, Pinky? We're trying to take over the world. Yeah.
That's Animaniacs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. The Warner Brothers
yeah.
and the Warner sister.
Yeah. That was some cool stuff back in the day. Yes. I remember. Do you remember Super Mario the cartoon?
Yes.
Come on after school.
Yes. Yes.
I remember. I got real bad sick one day at school, and I walked home.
Yeah.
And I called my mom, I called her at work and told her I was sick, and she's like, "Well, you better not be playing when
yeah.
I get home.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're sick, you're sick, but you better be resting, not up playing with your friends or whatever." So she gets home, and I was trying to clean my room, and I had, like, for some odd reason, I remember having this big cardboard box in my room. Well, it was sitting, like, kind of off to the side, and I had, like, a little bitty TV in my room.
Right.
And I made a bed in that box, and when she come home, I even got scissors and everything, cut a little, it looked like a, like the middle of a saddle. It was hanging my head out. And I was watching that when she got home. And
she's like,
yeah, she was like, what are you doing? And I mean, I was sick as crap. I felt like crap, you know. But I remember her walking in. I wasn't playing, but I was sitting there watching Super Mario Brothers.
You just
cartoon.
Lost.
I was sitting there. I made a little bed in that box.
That's the ADHD brain. It yeah. makes you really hyper-focused at times. Like, yeah. like when you're really on something, you get super hyper-focused. Like that's the opposite that people don't understand about ADD is, like, not only do you have a problem with paying attention, but you get super hyper focused.
Yeah.
And when you get so focused on something, like, the whole rest of the world disappears.
Yeah.
And I totally understand that. That's how people, like for me, I got off into video games, right? You didn't have that quite so much. You're more active than I was. Yeah. My parents kept me from being active. They hated me being active.
Oh, my mom did too, but it was outside. Like, you don't get to do that in here. You go outside, yeah. and I'll let you know when you can come in, basically.
I was grounded so often, they had me planted inside. But that's how that hyper-focus really interacts with. If I get really into something, I can get super focused, and I'll lose the rest of the world. You know what I mean? And I know that's yeah. the same for you. Like, you'll start, like, you'll get zeroed in on something, and, like, a task or a mission or a vision that you have in your head, and all you can think about is that. Everything else is gone.
Yeah.
It's gone. Yeah.
Yeah. It's my biggest problem has been being able to sit still my whole life. Sitting still has always been my biggest problem. I got a couple of childhood friends that I've been friends with for, you know, close to 30 years now.
Yeah.
That I still see occasionally, and they all just have this, they're just like, dude, you've never been at, like, I'll do like I'm doing now. Like, I'll be twirling my chair while I'm talking. Mm-hmm. And like, geez, like, sit still. Like, it's not going to happen.
See, you don't see me moving my feet.
Yeah.
I'm always moving too. Same thing. Yeah. Like, I'm not shaking my chair back and forth, but I'm pushing my hand up against the table right here. I don't know if you can feel my table.
Yeah, I can see your arm moving.
I'm always, same thing. Like, it's constantly in motion. But I'm more of a domestic, right? Like, I don't.
Yeah.
They wouldn't push me outside. They would lock me away. Yeah. Go in your room. Shut up. Close the door.
I had some games when I was a kid. I think I had, like, I just never, I mean, like, I think I had the original Sega. Yeah. When it first came out, I think for just a brief moment, I had an Atari. Nintendo, cool. Never really got a Nintendo. Those came out, and we weren't really in the right financial bracket to get one of them at the time. You know, my mom's ex-husband was not the easiest to live with, so. but then we had, I think I got like a Sega Genesis, and my stepsister got a Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
Never, I mean, I think I might have turned it on like once or twice, you know. I mean, a matter of fact, one of my buddies beat up in my bedroom floor.
Dang.
Yeah, and this was like 10 years later. We were in my bed, or not 10 years later, about 7 or 8 years later, we're in my bedroom, and he was like, "What is that?" And I was like, "I think it was a Sega Genesis." I was like, "Oh, it's a Sega Genesis." He's like, "I've never even seen one of those." I was like, "Yeah, they're cool." And he's like, "I bet I can punch a hole in it." I was like, "I bet you can't." So he laid it in my bedroom floor. But commenced to punching on it. My mom opens the door. "What are y'all doing?" Because, I mean, it's like, boom.
Boom, boom, boom. His
freaking hands all bleeding.
Dummies.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
funny. I got off on that, and also that was when I was real young. I did get away from it for quite a while, and then it was probably, I don't know, as I started to have kids, right? You start kind of doing that with them, and I've never been super social, right? Like I'm a house guy.
You're still kind of a gamer though, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is your game of choice
right now? I still play sports games because I love sports. So I still play Madden. Of course, I played the college football game when it came out this year because that was one of my favorite games before they took it away. Probably my favorite game, period. I've played it a few times is Red Dead Redemption.
Oh, wow.
It's like Grand Theft Auto with horses. And cowboys.
Okay. Yeah. I've been seeing a lot of Grand Theft Auto stuff.
It's a great story, you know, and I can go and shoot people without really shooting people.
Yeah. Like Modern Warfare or Call of Duty or something like that. Those are big.
Yeah. I a lot of people like to play online with people. I've never been that guy. Yeah. I'm a single player on my own. Leave me alone.
Yeah. My kid plays... It's like play soccer with the car. He plays that on
Rocket League. I've never played it, but he's
pretty good at it. But I tried playing it with him once. I was like, this game sucks, dude. It's like cars doing backflips and crap,
and knocking soccer balls around. It's weird, but
there's a ton of people.
There's a craze. I've never understood like Minecraft.
He was real big into that for a little.
I never played
Minecraft
it for 5 seconds.
And Roblox, dude. Those two. And then,
never understood.
Thankfully, he got off the Roblox thing. I started hearing a lot of bad things about.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like the chat rooms and stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's the danger. Anytime you're playing anything online or with other people, you're subject to whatever they're talking about or doing.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, it just, It's just interesting because we're very much the same, but it's like a different.
Yeah. It's like different dimensions. That's all I could think when you were doing that, because the way you were doing your hands, you were like.
Yeah. Separated.
Yeah. Like either he's trying to like open a bag of dog food or.
So. Anyway, I will say that, like, as far as the whole gaming stuff, a lot of times, man, it's just a mind number. It's just something I do because I don't, it's not, there's nothing else going on. Like, yeah. You know, I don't have kids at home anymore. You know what I mean? And as long as there's not something else going on, it's something that passes the time and I enjoy doing it. So, like, I'll be editing our episodes playing football or something like that. I'm multitasking because that's another thing that people with ADD do, is because we can't focus on one thing. If we focus on 20 things, we can get shit done. You know what I mean? It's like, it's the weirdest thing sometimes.
So going from the video game thing.
Yeah.
Sitting over here kind of looking and noticed this video of Science Discovered God, Irrefutable Evidence.
Yeah.
And it's basically believe in God in 5 minutes. This is a pretty interesting video. The start of it was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I want to let everybody hear that if you don't mind.
Well, it's always interesting to, cause you know,
the scientific part is what's really hard to understand. Cause most, like Scientology, most super brilliant, smart people don't, they're strictly science.
If you pay attention to our culture, I can't attest to everybody else's culture. Every other country's culture, every other society's culture. If you pay attention to our culture, you'll recognize that science, generally speaking, is trying to refute God.
Yeah.
Right? Refute creation. So anytime you have somebody who is in that sector of the world explaining that there is no other option but a God, it's pretty sound evidence, right? So.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, God proves science. Science doesn't disprove God.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, let's check it out. Let's see what he has to say. Gerald Schroeder is his name, if you can't catch it. He has an interesting accent. I don't know if it's an accent or what, but he's somewhat hard to understand.
Schroeder, I have a, thank God, a strong science background from MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, bachelor's, master's, PhD, 7 years in the physics staff. Seen a whole range of atomic bombs detonated, moved to Israel, met my wife, Barbara Sofer, a great writer, and then teach Torah and science. So luckily, I'm lucky that I have the two that come together. And one of the questions that I'm asked as a scientist is, how can a scientist really believe that there's something that we refer to usually as God? You know, is this metaphysical whatever acting in the world or producing the world? And the irony is, the question's really a non-starter. Science has, in fact, discovered God. And you can talk to the hardline atheists, and they will say, it looks like science has indeed discovered God. And how would that be? Well, if you take the trouble of going to the web and there type in WMAP, the initials for a satellite, it's a diagram that shows the development of the universe from the creation.
What do you say, WMAP?
Timeline. Every word on that diagram comes from the NASA site. It is the condensed knowledge of the scientific community of how the universe created and how it got to where we are today. Each of the lines, the vertical lines, is another billion years. Okay, you start from a burst of energy at the extreme left side of the diagram, and you end up at the far end with the oval. The oval is to indicate expansion in all directions. Of course, because it's a timeline, we can't show that on a single piece of paper. We see here, most amazingly, that on the extreme left edge, it shows a beginning to the universe. Now, go back less than 50 years. If I were teaching that at Tech, I might have, a person could lose tenure saying that there was a creation of the universe. It sounds like it's Bible. Because less than 50 years ago, the overwhelming scientific opinion was the universe is eternal. There was never a beginning. The Bible is wrong from the very first sentence. And then we discovered, suddenly, Arno Penzias and Robert Wilson, the Bell Labs in New Jersey, the northeast of the U.S., discover the echo of the Big Bang, the energy left over, which George Gamow, 60 years ago, predicted that if there had been a universe created hot and small, it would have exploded, and the energy would get more and more dilute, and the And Penzias and Wilson, these Arnold Penzias and Robert Wilson, discover this energy that had been predicted overnight. The Bible got it right. There was a beginning to the universe. Mm-hmm. Now, the black in the diagram is nothing. It's not a vacuum. Vacuums are within that diagram, within that cone of expansion. Vacuums are empty space, and space is something. The black of the paper around the diagram is nothing. It doesn't fit in our human brain because humans think in a box made of time, space, and matter / energy. No human, as clever as they might be, as expansive as they might be, thinks out of that box. So when we say outside that diagram is nothing, we can use the words, but we can't conceive of nothing. It doesn't fit in the human brain. How are we going to have this idea, is there a God or not? Notice that the creation force isn't the three-letter word, G-O-D. If you look at the words carefully, it's a quantum fluctuations. That understanding was first brought down by Ed Tryon, brilliant human being, in the journal Nature almost 40 years ago. The universe allows creation of something from nothing, provided you have the laws of nature, the quantum fluctuation. Tryon realized, and he published in the journal Nature, one of the two leading peer-reviewed journals in the world, that you can create something from absolute nothing, provided you've got the laws of nature, quantum physics and the laws of relativity. In other words, the laws of nature. So look what science has discovered. We can create the universe from absolute nothing, provided we have the forces of nature. Now, the laws of nature, the forces of nature aren't physical. They act on the physical. So if they create the universe, that means they predate the universe. Mm. So now we have a set of forces, we call them the laws of nature, that are not physical, that are able to act on the physical. They create the physical from absolute nothing. And they predate the universe, which means they predate our understanding of time. Put that together, it sounds very familiar.
Yep.
If you haven't Woo-hoo-hoo. Noticed it, that's
Look a different God.
Definition of God.
Wow.
Hey, that's wow. pretty, that is, that's that was pretty, pretty good. Intense.
And obviously, I'm not, I like it because he's saying things that are like so far outside of my scope of understanding.
Yeah.
But being able to describe it in a way that makes me understand it, yeah. I appreciate that a lot. You know what I mean? Like, I find that interesting. He's like, look at the blackness. And if people should search out the video because it's really interesting. Where did that come from?
Gerald Schroeder.
I don't want to start it over.
Let's praise
Yeshua.
Yeshua.
Honestly, I think I can repost it from our TikTok. Yeah, I'll repost it. If people, we have plenty of followers on our TikTok. Yeah,
that's pretty awesome, man. That was a pretty good.
Yeah. Go check out our TikTok. You'll find it. Yeah. Yeah, it's such a scientific way of telling what the Bible told you already.
Yeah.
Right. And the Bible existed long before the scientific method existed. Right. Does that make sense? Long before.
What I liked about that is it shows that little short area of all black where there's nothing. He's talking about the nothingness. Yeah. So that would have to be before God said, let there be light.
Yeah.
Because then it starts like the graph starts really getting like
it blows up
decorative.
And it expands.
Yeah. It starts really like there's that brief little pitch black area.
Yeah.
Like in the beginning, boom, here you go.
Yeah.
And then God said, let there be light.
Yeah.
And then so on and so
well,
forth.
Well, God is beyond time.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what blew my mind.
That we don't understand.
He predates the universe.
Right. Something can come from nothing as long as you have the laws of nature.
Yeah. And he's what did he say? Unphysical form creating physical matter.
Yeah. It very interesting. I like that.
It's a pretty interesting thought.
Class in here.
Yeah. Let's go, Bill Nye.
I don't understand physics and all that stuff.
I don't either, dude. And it's crazy. It's like trying to teach me Japanese arithmetic. You know what I mean? I'm never gonna understand it. It's not in my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
But to explain it in a way like that, I still don't understand the science part of it, but I can understand how science proved that there is a God.
Right. And
God has
receipts for every single thought that he had.
Yeah.
Right. He's like, okay, check out this study. done by this very reputable scientist.
Yeah.
Check out this study done by these very reputable scientists.
Naming off names and and data and
that was pretty
awesome.
Yeah. I think the thing that confuses, not confuses people, but makes people have a struggle to understand and a struggle to accept is the concept of time, right? Because you'll have people tell you that the Earth is 7 billion years old, or the dinosaurs were 50 million years ago, but the Earth, biblically speaking, is only, you know, 12,000 years old,
yeah.
Right? And they're like, well, then it's not possible, right? I think that people don't take into consideration the fact that God can design it with age already there.
Yeah.
Right? And that time doesn't pass the same for him as it does for us.
Yeah.
Right? There's scripture that says a day is unto 1,000 years to God. A day is unto 1,000 years.
Yeah.
And 1,000 years unto a day, which means he's outside of that time frame. Yeah.
He's outside of time,
so
space, and matter. I mean, he's out.
His instantaneous let there be light could have taken 7 billion years in our time.
Yeah.
But in God's time, it was instant.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like hard to, outside of that, we've talked about it before. Adam wasn't born a baby.
Yeah, he's a full-grown man.
He's a man.
And
he was
God
created,
took his rib.
Created with age.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know how old he was, but we assume, like, in my mind, he's like in his 30s. I don't know why.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But he's a grown man from the time that he was created.
Threes play a pretty big role in the Bible, though.
They do.
33, yeah. I mean.
Yeah, Jesus died at 33.
Yeah. I mean.
The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Yeah. 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Threes, I mean, so 30s, that's a
I don't know, it sounded right to
that's
me.
A reasonable, that's a reasonable assumption.
Yeah, I don't know why. That's all I've always kind of pictured in my head, that he's like a 30-year-old dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because if you think about it, he couldn't have been born as a baby, because who's going to take care of him? It ain't like he just stood up, started walking around eating apples off the tree, or whatever. You know what I mean? Like he's gotta be strong enough
to do something.
Cognitive and coherent enough that he can take care of himself. So yeah.
He was born with knowledge, right? He was born with age. Physical age.
Yeah.
Like, but we don't.
Can you? Okay. So just imagine you could have been a fly on the wall. Of course, there wasn't flies, but you get the metaphorical reference. Imagine being the one that could catch a glimpse of that. And he's like, let's go ahead and make this dude right now. Pow. And if I'm sure he was probably 6 foot tall. I mean, that's.
Do you imagine? You know what the first thing that comes into my head is? I don't know why. This is so stupid. You've seen Toy Story before?
Oh, yeah.
Buzz Lightyear's a toy. He's brought home at the birthday party. He's wrapped up. He gets unwrapped. He's just a toy. He's not life. He has no life.
Yeah.
When he's landed on the bed and the kids disappear, he then just kind of wakes up and he's like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
What is going on?
That's what I see in my
That dude's head. Probably, it's probably what happened to him, too. He's probably like, what the
Who fuck? Who are you? Yeah, holy shit. The, what is that? Yeah. What is this?
What the hell just happened
what
to me?
What is that?
Yeah, what is that? What are those underneath it?
I don't know.
Oh, that hurts. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's just, I don't know. Such silly way of thinking about things, but it's just like the way the mind works, you know, and it's what you know, it's what you understand. But well, thinking about, I don't know, people get hung up on the wrong details.
Yeah. So, okay. So I just said he plucked a rib out of him to make Eve.
Yeah.
Doesn't he wake up with with a wound?
That's a great question. I don't know. I don't think so.
I see. Okay.
He put him into a deep sleep.
Yeah, I got that from somewhere. He puts him in a deep sleep and plucks a rib out of him. And I thought that it says something about waking up with a wound.
Well, we finna find out.
When Adam woke up from a deep sleep, God induced to take his rib and create Eve. he would have woken up with a wound on his side where the rib was taken. Although the text doesn't explicitly say wound, but rather mentions that God closed up the flesh in its place.
Okay, well, then I need to see the scripture. Okay, I appreciate them. That's an AI telling us that too, by the way.
Is it really?
Yeah, it says AI overview.
Oh, God.
Genesis 2, 21 and 22. Okay, we need to find that.
Hey, I was in that today.
Genesis chapter 2?
I was in Genesis.
Come on now.
Yeah, I was that recovery Bible I was looking up.
So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of the ribs and closed up its place with flesh. Okay, he closed up the space with flesh. To me, it sounds like a scar tissue, like I have that big scar on my arm from that surgery. But I don't know. I mean, God could heal it perfectly, right? Where it wouldn't really be evidence. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's tough. That's interesting.
That's a tough ask, huh?
That's interesting.
Well, because we started talking about it. I was like, okay, well, he's going to have a wound.
He had a hole there, right?
Yeah, he plucked a rib out. I mean,
that brings up another thing, like the way Jesus was crucified, right? Like, you realize that everything that Christ did atoned for what Adam did. Does that make sense? Like, okay. I don't know if I can identify this video right now. I have looked at this video where this man describes all of the things that Christ did and why he was crucified, died the way he did, atoning for all of the things that Adam had done. Ah, here it is. Listen.
How this rabbi connects the dots in the Bible will blow your mind.
The reason why he dies on a cross or a tree is because in the very beginning, man stole from the tree. God puts back on the tree for you and me to undo everything that was done in the beginning. His hands were pierced because our hands stole from the tree. His feet were pierced because the first messianic prophecy it involves the feet, right? His side is pierced because Eve came from the side. So he's making atonement for Eve, the one who led into temptation. A crown of thorns on his head. Why? The curse of creation is that the ground will produce thorns and thistles. He's literally taking the curse on his head to reverse it and to restore the blessing.
Follow and subscribe.
Whoa.
He was pierced in the side because of Eve, right? Eve was taken from our side or from his side. So this hole in Christ's side represents atonement of what Eve had done.
Yeah.
Right? It's just crazy stuff. Like, that's crazy. And that's wow. And that's where Thomas put
his fingers in
it. He's like, oh, that just was so gross.
What's the noise you made with it?
I had a visual and an audible sound. Like, I heard what you made, the sound you made. I heard that before you did it.
Yeah.
Ugh. Wow. But, you know, you think about, you know, go ahead.
So the comments that people leave, I can kind of really appreciate that one. And he did it, and he didn't have to do any of it, but he did because he loves us. His mercy is unimaginable and has emptied himself to save us.
When you really start to consider what Christ did, what he was willing to do for no reason other than to love you, that's a pretty... Big thing, man. It kind of goes, we've been talking about this a lot lately. Like, our most recent episode to drop, 46, I think, is How He Loves Us, is what we entitled it. And we talked a lot about just how big God's love is and how he has proven his love to us so many times in so many ways. And none more evident than the crucifixion.
Yeah.
You know, really. There's a medical description of Christ's crucifixion that's really brutal to listen to. It's interesting if you ever take the time. There's a doctor that describes it.
The medical
Yeah, a medical description of what would have happened and what did happen to Christ in the process of crucifixion. Like the whole story, like from the lashings to being hung on the tree and all that business. Gosh, I'll try to find it if you want. The foods are making me hungry.
Yeah, I know, man. I'm like, I got fresh made sourdough bread at my house too. Jalapeno cheddar sourdough bread.
Who made this?
My daughter.
Dude.
Yeah, I know. I'm so jacked about that. I'm going to end up messing it up though, because I'm going to pile a bunch of crap on it that don't need to be on it.
Okay. We're going to try to search it. It's tough. That's part two. Okay, it's a two-parter. No, let's watch this one.
There you go. I bet that's it.
6 minutes. This is a doctor.
Yeah, I believe that Christ's suffering and the demonstration of the kind of physiologic stress that his human body was under is manifested in the Garden of Gethsemane, where it's described that he was sweating blood. And there is a well-documented medical condition in which patients who are under tremendous amount of emotional stress and physiological stress can, in fact, sweat blood, because little blood vessels within the glands burst and then the blood is expressed. The scourge involved the use of a short whip with pieces of typically metal, sometimes bone, sometimes pieces of porcelain wrapped in these leather straps, which is then utilized to come across typically the back, the shoulders, the legs of the victim. And the first few passes across a particular body part would tear through the skin, the fat, but eventually, once the outer layers were torn away, it would start getting in the muscle and the tendon. And of course, along the way, you're ripping through all the blood vessels that supply all those tissues. And so you're losing blood the whole time. The plant that was described actually had a very long thorn, not the little thorns that we would think from a rose bush. These were thorns that were typically an inch and a half to 2 inches in length. The scalp is one of the most vascular portions of our body. It's got a huge blood supply up there. So then having those thorns shoved down into the, down onto the bony plate would have gone through all the scalp, which in and of itself would have created a huge amount of blood loss. I've seen people actually bleed to death from just a scalp injury. So this is not a small injury to have, dozens of these things shoved into your scalp. And so that would have caused more blood loss. Typically, when a victim has to carry the cross, what has been described in the literature, in actual Roman literature, is they describe they carry the crossbar. And the crossbar was estimated to weigh about 110 pounds. And of course, if your arms are stuck out here, wrapped up on the crossbar, and you fall down, you need help getting up. You just can't get up on your own, because there's no possible way without your arms to get up. So he would have needed help getting up. If he fell over, there's a good chance that he could have hit his chest, which then could account for the possibility of a cardiac injury. Jeez. Anatomically, we consider the wrists as part of the hand. And so with the placement of the nails between the radius and the ulna at that position, it still fits the definition of being in the hand. And it's in a position in which the nail won't rip out, which you have to have a solid point of fixation. Another interesting point about the placement of that is the median nerve goes right straight through that particular portion of the wrist. And so there would have been either destruction of the nerve or impingement of the nerve that would have created a tremendous amount of pain, so that every time you try to take a breath, it'd be agonizing. You'd be pushing down on spike feet, which of course hurt, and then you'd be hanging on spiked arms. And so you alternate from excruciating pain to excruciating pain every time you take a breath. So even if he survives the actual crucifixion, he would have had to survive what I believe to be a lethal injury from the spear to find out whether he was alive or not. What's described is the loss of water and blood, and that would entail either either a pleural effusion or pericardial effusion, and the blood would have come from either pulmonary artery, pulmonary vein, the aorta or vena cava, or the heart itself. None of those injuries, unless you're treated immediately by a trauma surgeon like myself, with all the advanced equipment that we have, would be survivable after even a few minutes. Christ, as the Son of God, could have survived anything. He chose to manifest himself as a human at that point in time and allowed himself to die. And being human at that point in time, he could not have survived this particular series of traumas. It's not possible. Christ as God could have survived anything they threw at him. But he chose to be Christ, the human, at that point in time to die for our sins. And that given that self-limitation of remaining to be human, he died. He did not survive the event. I'm profoundly impacted by it. Because I realized that the price that he paid was something I would never be willing to do for probably anybody. It's very difficult for me to even sing songs about the cross, even in worship. Because I truly do understand what he paid, the price that he paid.
In the midst of that whole video, there were questions being asked, typed out on the screen, so that those were his responses to specifically to the questions, and the last one just being, what does it mean to you?
Yeah,
and that's why he responded in the way he did. And for me, it means nothing less than everything.
You know how many times we take it for granted?
Every single day.
Like when we doubt.
Yeah.
When we let the enemy get in our head and say we have no value or we're nothing, we're everything, apparently. He wouldn't do that for nothing. God didn't do that for nothing. Christ did not take that sacrifice for nothing.
The value of a thing is what somebody's willing to pay for a thing.
And he paid the ultimate price.
Not only did he pay the price of his life, he paid it the most horrible way. Yeah. Think about it like that. It's not the fact that he just paid with his life. He paid with...
Yeah, because, I mean, it could have been quick. Like, man, I will die for my family. Yeah, but not like that.
Put a bullet in my head,
yeah.
Cut my head off.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, let me watch it tumbling around on the ground. I mean,
for
whatever.
For 28 seconds.
Yeah, well, however long they say that you see it.
But what happened to him took hours.
Yeah.
It took hours.
Well, just the beating and the crown of thorns and carrying the cross to where they actually hung him is...
The beating itself was enough to kill him.
Yeah.
God. But what took him all the way to the cross? Right? We listened to that rabbi talk about the significance of each part of why he died the way he died, why he paid all the penalties from the beginning. The only thing that could have got him there was that. His motivation, his love was so vast and so deep and so strong.
So let me ask you this. He has to be at some point through getting through the crucifixion, he has to at some point be God, basically.
You know, I was kind of in the same mode.
Has to have that power. You know what I mean?
There was some sort of supernatural.
There's no way he makes it to that point without that.
But that supernatural power was love.
That's an excruciating way to go.
And that was really just a that video is actually longer. I've seen a much longer version where he's talking a lot about the breathing and about how every breath and how he's basically suffocating the whole time because of that being stretched out situation and like slouching up and it's his spine would have been open.
Yeah.
There's no flesh left on his back. His open spine is rubbing against a tree.
Yeah.
Imagine taking, cut your back open and go rub it on a stinking tree.
Yeah.
Do it for me. Tell me how you feel. Do it without your back open.
I can't stand what's going on with me now, and it's minute. You know what I mean? Yeah.
It's that important. And, you know, the whole reason we do any of it is because of that. The whole reason we're able to do what we're doing is because of that. Period. And if we don't stop for a second, every single time the enemy comes at us and tries to take away our joy or take away our confidence and say, you know what, I see what you're doing. And you're not wrong. He's not wrong about his accusations. He's absolutely right. I have done all the things that he accuses me of. No doubt. But that's not who I am.
Yeah.
It's a thing I've done. It's not who I am.
Yeah.
It's not who you are. You are still made in the image of God. Yeah. You are still so valuable.
His perfect masterpiece.
So valuable. He was willing to pay that pain for you and me. Right? Still he still has a purpose for you that is so big that he was willing to die.
Yeah.
Not just die the worst possible death.
Horrifically. A horrific death.
And I know it's real. And if somebody else wants to deny it, that's okay. That's your choice. But man, life's a lot better and a lot easier to deal with when you actually believe that there's a little bit of grace and forgiveness in it.
Yeah. Whew. All right. I got two tonight.
Deuce and a quarter, he said. Go with it.
I asked a Frenchman if he played video games. He said, "Oui."
I like that one.
I had to do that one, dude, because we were talking about
video games. We did talk about video games.
And then for anybody that actually listens to us and they happen to catch any of our commercials on TikTok about the podcast, we always do Confucius Say. I got one of those. Confucius Say, wise man never plays leapfrog with unicorn.
You get split from the rooter to the tutor. I think this is a good one for today. Yesterday I was clever, so I wanted to change the world. Today I am wise, so I'm changing myself. Rumi? Some philosopher of some sort.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
So you can change the world, but you got to change yourself first.
I'm starting with the man in the mirror, right? We talk a lot about being 6 inches from that mirror and some of the disgusting things we've probably said to ourselves. It's sad to say that we've done that because, you know what? And I think that that's something that we should work on, really. Yeah. Some of the things we say about ourselves and recognizing that, you know, every time you do that, you're really just denying what God says about you.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I do it to myself. You do it to yourself. Hell, sometimes we do it to each other. Not intentionally. We just do.
Yeah.
Something I need to work on.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure. You guys can catch us on every major platform. We kind of you know, say this till we're blue in the face, RSS.com, YouTube, TikTok, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon Music,
everywhere
you
else.
You can find us. You can find us anywhere. You guys, thank you guys for listening.
Yeah. If you're listening, thank you that you're listening.
Yeah.
We don't want to discount the fact that you're listening, even though we might not be getting some of the interaction. We have had some interaction, one specifically anonymous, don't know his name or whatever, but he's sparked some conversation. We're always thinking about him. We have some people that we know personally that do, that have talked to us personally. That's also interaction.
Yeah.
But we want more. We desire the ability to speak to the people that are listening to us and
about the things that are concerning them.
Yeah. And you know what? Pray with you. Love you. Say to you the same things we're saying to ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, and hope that you grab hold of it. Other than that, we're just grateful to be here and be doing it. We're one step closer to our goal for this year. And then there's new things on the horizon from there. Yeah. We love you.
Yeah.
For John.
For Jason.
We're Bumper Sticker Wisdom.
There we go.
Deuces.